continue with a series on paradox, seemingly contradictory teachings of the Christian faith. Someone emailed me this week, one of my former professors from Bible College, a friend of mine, and he's just fascinated by this whole idea and just mentioned, again, his own journey through the paradoxes of the Christian faith. And he made reference to a book called Paradoxology. Paradoxology. And as I've taken a look a little bit at the book, it's a fascinating. And I think at some point I'll do a series that I'll be calling The God You Thought You Knew, because God is radically different than what we imagine him to be. But we continue today with the second sermon in this series, and I'm calling it Be Small to Be Great, Be First to Be Last. Be small to be great, be last to be first. So just a couple of questions here. Do you want to be great? Do you want to be a leader? Do you want to be first? I believe that when a person is relatively healthy, wholesome, that there is a desire, a built-in desire in a human being to want to be great, to be a great person, to be a great spouse, to be a great parent, to be a great student, to be great at what you do in life. I think that that is a God-given desire. And so today we'll look at a paradox that we find in Scripture of this notion of to be great, you have to serve, to be first, you need to be last. And this particular paradox, Jesus talks about it on several occasions throughout the Gospels. And the various Gospels have different stories to go along with it. So Matthew 8, chapter 4, the disciples ask him a question. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? In Matthew 23, as the disciples are having this conversation, Jesus begins to talk about this desire to be great, but as a warning against hypocrisy and pride. And then in Mark 9:35, the disciples are arguing as to who is the greatest amongst them. And Mark 10:43, we have a really fascinating story. And I'm sure I read this passage before, but as I read it this week, it really kind of hit home, because James and John, they're walking along with Jesus, and they come and ask Jesus to do something for them that, if truth be told, most of us at some point have asked Jesus. You know what their question is? Jesus, we have a very simple request. It's not a question, it's a request. Can you just do everything for us that we ask of you? Now, I know that if we ask for a show of hands or for emojis, raise hand emojis on the online audience, most of us would not do that. But the way we pray, the way we talk, the way we ask, it really seems that deep down in our heart, we want Jesus, or we want God, to just simply answer all our prayers exactly the way we pray them and exactly giving us those things that we want. That's what James and John request is, and Jesus goes on to talk to them a little bit more about that. And then in Luke 9:48, again, the disciples arguing as to who is the greatest. And Luke 22, we have another similar retelling of the story. Now, this is very close to Jesus going to the cross. And the disciples' greatest concern isn't the fact that Jesus has told him he's going to die, he's going to be crucified, he's going to be buried, he's going to rise again from the dead. They are wondering which of them will be the greatest in God's kingdom. Just like James and John, they said, Jesus, can one of us sit on your right hand and the other one on your left? Wow, those are the highest places of honor. And Jesus takes each one of these moments to help them understand something that in God's upside-down kingdom does not work like it does as far as the world is concerned. So again, I say to you, if you want to be great, if you want to be first at something, that's a commendable desire. Now let's go about doing that in a way that is the prescription in God's kingdom. And I want to help you today, give you a couple of principles that I hope will help you achieve greatness. So we read in Mark 10:43, again, Jesus saying to the disciples, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. Now, I would encourage you, if you get a chance, to just go on YouTube and search for Follow the Leader, a series of sermons by Eugene Peterson that are fascinating. In the first sermon, he talks about comparing Jesus and Herod. They're kind of contemporaries. And Herod wanted to be great. And his story is so crazy. And even though he was really a puppet in some ways of the Romans, he took his role to the next level. He wanted, when he would die, to be remembered and to be buried in honor. So he had a mountain built that he surprisingly named Herodia after himself. And they kept adding and adding and adding to these mountains. So it would be bigger and bigger and bigger, so his burial place would be high. And he treated people so awfully. And even his family, that a historian said that it would be better to be Herod's dog than to be his sons, because he killed his sons and he killed his wives. Fear of somebody taking over his place. And he built this 7 palaces, bigger than anything the Roman leaders built in Rome. And he wanted people, when he died, to mourn. But he knew, given his life, that they would probably celebrate his death. And so what he did, he had elders from the Judea, from the area that he ruled, he had them put in prison in one of his racing tracks, one of the hippodromes, and then he ordered that when he died, that when news broke out that Herod had died, he wanted all of them murdered so that there would be wailing and mourning throughout the land so that it would be remembered that they mourned for him. And thankfully, they didn't follow his orders. Here is an individual who was so bent on being the greatest, on being first, on being the best, that he would go to any length to achieve that. And yet Jesus, maybe with that picture in mind, says to his followers, whoever wants to be great, it shouldn't be like this. Don't seek to be great. Don't pay any price. Don't abuse power. Don't put yourself out there. I think it was Muhammad Ali who said, I thought people would know I was the greatest if I told them long enough. And so here's something interesting. Jesus never rebuked the disciples for wanting to be great, but he did correct their mistaken idea of what greatness is and how to achieve it. So please understand, Jesus is not opposed against people wanting to be great. Just like Jesus is not opposed to people wanting to have treasures. Remember, he said, you should have treasures, but put them in a place that is safe. Invest them in my kingdom, because there their return is guaranteed. In the same way, Jesus does not rebuke them and say, well, you shouldn't want to be great. What a stupid thing. Why would you want to be great? He never says that, but he corrects them, their understanding of what is greatness and how to achieve it. So here are some things that greatness is not. Greatness is not status or wealth. To have a title after your name, or to be high up in the corporate ladder, or to amass incredible amounts of wealth. Greatness is also not fame. There's very famous people who are not great individuals. And some people are famous because of the awful things they have done. Greatness is also not power and triumph. That people have power either in a position or because they have earned it, like in a military career, for example, or somebody has appointed them to a position of power and to achieve great things. That in itself does not make a person great. We can think of many leaders that would come to mind, people who had power. They were not great individuals. And also achievement and success. To have achieved great things in the eyes of the world or to be successful doesn't necessarily make a person truly great, at least not in the sense in which Jesus describes it. And so greatness is not achieved through one's strengths and gifts. It's not like I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps to until I reach a level of greatness. Or I have these gifts. I'm good at this or that. And I'm just going to depend completely on that. And I am going to be great. Or by one's educational pursuits. Or one's career path. Or one's efforts. None of these things guarantee that we will achieve greatness. This is one of the things that Jesus is saying very emphatically. Don't try to do it in your own efforts, by the world's standards, by the world's point of view. This is not the way you do it. So greatness in God's kingdom is both good and encouraged, but it's very different than earthly greatness, and it's achieved in a different way. This is the thing we need to remember, that it's good and commendable, but it's different than how the world defines greatness. And it's achieved in different ways. Our greatest example of this paradox really is Jesus himself. We read the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He talks about Jesus in the book of Ephesians, I believe chapter 2, where he talks about Jesus, who was in the very nature, was very God. Actually, it's the book of Philippians, not Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2. And he says that though he was God and he had always existed, he was powerful, he was the creator of the world, all of these amazing things. And yet it says that he humbled himself and he became a human being. In this mysterious, miraculous event that we call the incarnation, that in some ways Jesus manifests himself in a different way than ever before. And he embodies who he is in a human being, in a baby, without ceasing to be everything he had always been. Not only did he humble himself and became a human being, but even as a human being, then Paul goes on to say that he humbled himself and became a servant. A slave. I know that's not a correct term to use these days. That's the term that Scripture uses, as somebody who is told what to do by someone else all the time and they're not their own person. Jesus willingly took on that. And having gone from being God now to being God in human flesh, now to being God in human flesh as a slave, as a servant, now to even lower than that, to becoming obedient, the Bible says, even to the point of death, and the worst kind of death, death on a cross. And it says that because of that, then God exalted him above everything else. So Jesus understands when he says, you know, don't be lord over them. Don't try to be number one. Don't try to take the best seat. Don't try to be the person with power and authority that people jump at whatever you say. He says, be a servant. And even though they hadn't seen this to its full extent, they will see it in time as Jesus is crucified, buried, and is raised from the dead. So he is our greatest example of this paradox of being great by serving, being first by being last. So how to become great? First of all, be a servant. Serve others. Serve God. Serve your family. Serve your neighbors. Serve your coworkers. Serve your company. Serve your boss. Serve a church. Serve everywhere. And I think that we probably can't think of many better examples today, even though she passed away a number of years ago now, of Mother Teresa. She didn't have anything she owned. She had no money. She had no power, no authority. And yet, we all remember her. We mention her name, and we can picture that little lady, you know, tiny, short lady, skinny, brown skin with her nun's habit. And yet, she commanded attention. She spoke before the most powerful people in the world. Why? Because she was a servant. Number two, be humble or be small. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. The book of Romans in the New Testament tells us. I have a friend named John, and I know John from in the Edmonton area. John has a PhD in higher education planning. He is absolutely brilliant. He has served, and he used to be an academic planner at NATE, and then for the last, well, over 20 years, I think he has served in different countries helping establish institutions of higher learning, kind of like NATE's, for the oil and gas sector in Pakistan, in Egypt, in Jordan, and most recently in Vietnam. He has lived in three of these four countries, but John would never let on how highly accomplished he is, how brilliant he is, how well connected he is, and the ways in which he has served. He would just tell you his name is John. Being humble, being small. And thirdly, being last, or letting others be first. In the 2014 Sochi Olympics, there was an incident that happened within the short skating competition that was really phenomenal. I don't know that it's ever happened before. I don't know of anyone having done this in any other competition. But a Canadian member of the short track speed skating team qualified for the finals, I believe, in the 1,000 meters. And he chose to give up his spot to his teammate. His last name is Morrison. And Morrison took silver in the finals of the 1,000 short track speed skating competition at Sochi in 2014. And the only reason why he could do that was because Gilmore Jr. decided to give up his spot for his teammates. Now, we don't hear that very often, do we? And I think that nowadays, sometimes people remember more the fact that Gilmore gave up his spot than that Morrison actually won silver. And this is how we become great in God's kingdom, by being servants, by being humble, by letting others be first. Here's what one a commentator says, a guy named Tom Taylor. Like Jesus' other teachings, true greatness comes about not when we shout out loud or long enough about how great we are, but when we stoop down to become servants. Isn't that true? When we stoop down to become servants. And again, Jesus being our main example, just hours before he is arrested, he is in that upper room. And what is he doing? Washing the disciples' feet. The responsibility, the task that was assigned to the lowest ranking slave. And that's why Jesus said, have you noticed what I've done for you? None of you washed my feet, but I, you say I'm your master, have washed your feet. Now, I have done that, he says, as an example that you should go and do the same. So we become great when we stoop down to serve each other in our homes, to serve those that we work for and with, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and yes, even to perfect strangers. We are called to those things. And in doing that, Jesus says, we will become great in his kingdom. It is an upside down kingdom because it doesn't work the way earthly kingdoms would work. Lord Jesus, thank you that you call us to be servants. You call us to let others be first. You call us to be humble. So thank you so much for loving us and especially for giving us an example. And help us even this week to take opportunities to stoop to become servants to those around us. Pray for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.